when the Sapphire Clinic was open for 18 months, ending in June of 2011, we served over 900 people. Many of them had not seen a doctor of any kind in 10 years. So we were truly reaching out to the people who do not have medical care in our community.
Tell me, what sort of services did Sapphire Community Health offer?
Sapphire Community Health was able to have a primary care clinic that provided all kinds of services. We didn't have the equipment of a massive hospital or a large healthcare organization. We were unable to do x-rays on site. We had to refer people for x-rays and things like that. But, you know, we serve people who are diabetic. We serve people with all kinds of chronic and long-term problems. One of the differences with what we're trying to do right now is that with the Ravalli Women's Wellness, there will be volunteer doctors, and so the expertise of the doctors will limit somewhat what services could be provided in the clinic we're hoping to see open in Hamilton.
Typically, who did Sapphire Community Health before it closed? Who did it serve?
You know, it was a broad range of ages and problems. Thinking back, I can think of a couple of people who I knew personally who I believe the clinic saved their lives, even though the clinic wasn't really set up for that kind of activity. There was a person with a skin cancer who was unable to go to other places for care and was able to get that taken care of. It wasn't, you know, most of our clients were not there with a skin cancer. The clinic dealt with the unique needs of the clients as they came up. And our patients were of all ages. And we did, when Sapphire Clinic was open, doing a full range of services, we did serve people who had insurance, and we were able to have the staff to bill insurance. What we're proposing to do is more limited than that, but in the past, when we were open for those 18 months, we saw a broad range of needs. Primarily, I would say most of the clients who I knew personally were probably middle-aged.
Women mostly, or men and women?
In the past, it was for women and men. I think the shift right now is that partly because most of the clients who were being served through public health, who are no longer served through public health, were women. And this clinic that we are proposing in collaboration with Ravalli Women's Wellness would not just serve women, even though the title says Women's Wellness. It would provide limited services to men in relation to the services being provided to women.
Why did the original Sapphire Health Center close in 2011?
Lack of funding. We had applied for the New Access Points grant to have $650,000 per year of federal funds to do a full clinic here, and we were unsuccessful in that application. And then we looked at the reality that it is very, very expensive to operate a clinic when you are paying the doctor. It still is fairly expensive to operate a clinic when you're not paying the doctor, but we had a paid staff. We didn't have any volunteers, and we did not do local fundraising. So it was a grant-driven organization that was seeking to provide broader services in the Valley and to serve a lot more people.
And then to top it all off, last year the Ravalli County Health Department lost its Title X funds, right?
It's true that the county rejected the Title X funding, and I know quite a few people have encouraged us to look at going for the Title X funding. One thing I'd like to say is that funding, while it was $50,000, required an awful lot of local match. And it is not something that Sapphire is looking at to go after those funds. We are hoping to provide a low-income clinic one day a week. It's not planned to be a family planning clinic. While it would provide some of the services that are no longer provided by public health, that would not be its entire scope and sequence.
Yes, some of the services that you hope to offer include what?
Cancer prevention screening, such as the pap smears and annual exams, birth control. Access to birth control if people are unable to pay. One of the things that we would do, if possible, is to provide testing for sexually transmitted infections. Right now, people can still go to public health and they can get tested for that sort of thing, but they have to pay for it. And I know of a person in the community who needs to have that testing and does not have any money. If our one-day-a-week clinic was open, even though he's not a woman, he could come in and have those types of tests done. And if he had no way to pay anything, that would probably be a free service. There will be a request for everyone who receives services to pay something if they can.
Kind of a sliding scale.
You know, it may be informal or formal, but it will be kind of like a sliding scale. So if someone were to come in and say, you know, I can pay for services and I'd like to have services, they might be served, but they might also be referred down the street because there's going to be very few slots available with a one-day-a-week clinic. And we know there's over 400 people who were served through public health with contraception and cancer prevention type screening. And so trying to serve those folks that have no other options would be our first priority.
Sounds like walking a very fine line here between what you can offer, what you can't offer. Don't raise expectations too high, but still you want to get those services out there. It sounds like a very delicate balance.
It certainly is, Ed. You know, like, for example, if you take a chronic problem like diabetes, with that you need to see the same doctor, and you need to have them looking at things over time. Well, we're going to have, at best case scenario, a different doctor every Friday. They may not have the expertise to deal with that particular chronic problem. Their specialization may lie in a different area. So we will be relying on the clinic volunteers to figure out which services can be provided well. We do not want to do anything that we don't do well. When you get into healthcare, if you can't do it all, that's okay. But what you do, you have to do well. I think we'd all agree on that. And so the volunteers involved with the clinic will be making choices about who may be referred and who may be served based on the doctors who are volunteering and what their specialization is and how often they'll be at the clinic.
Does the Affordable Care Act help out at all here or not?
I'm not an expert in any way on the Affordable Care Act, but one of the things that we're seeing is because the Montana legislature chose not to expand Medicaid eligibility in Montana, not to accept additional Medicaid funds and expand Medicaid, then there's a whole group of people who don't really qualify for the Affordable Care Act because they're too poor. They would be served by Medicaid if Medicaid had been expanded, but they don't make enough money to qualify for the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. So, unfortunately, the choice of the legislature means that the poorest people in this state don't really qualify for the services that they need. The people who are the working poor are more likely to qualify for the Affordable Care Act in Montana than the seriously impoverished. And that's part of why we need to have this clinic.
We've talked about the what is it. Let's talk about the fundraising effort. I know one is underway.
We had a kind of a celebration last Thursday at 303 North 3rd Street, where the clinic is likely to be located, and it was incredible. We had between 150 and 200 people come out on a sub-zero evening for hors d'oeuvres and discussion about the clinic, and we raised more than $8,000 that evening.
Wow.
See, $8,149.02 to be exact. I helped count the money and make sure it got properly deposited and signed the receipts on Friday. So we were very excited to see the tremendous outpouring of support from the community. And it wasn't just the money. What was so exciting was the positive energy in the room. So many people who are frustrated by the lack of services here and just want to see that change, even if it's one inch at a time, one day at a time. Even if we can only get a volunteer clinic and get it open one day a week, then that's a start. And we've got to have something here. It is so difficult to see people who can't get medical services and can't get to Missoula. And I work more than full-time, and it's really hard to take enough days off to drive people to services in Missoula. I've done that before for people who had to have a special test, an evaluation. If I knew how it would impact their situation, I've actually tried to do that as a citizen in the community, but it's impossible to serve people in the Bitterroot entirely in Missoula. The people with cars are already driving to the partnership clinic in Missoula. I don't know current statistics, but I know that 10 years ago, about a third of the people served in the partnership clinic in Missoula lived in Ravalli County.
Well, last week's event must have been very gratifying to see people come together when Ravalli County is facing some rather unique challenges these days.
Well, one of the things that was really kind of fun was I had been thinking, oh, well, you know, we're probably only going to get 50 people because it's so cold, and if I wasn't dedicated to this project, I certainly wouldn't be putting on a skirt in this weather. And then to be at the event and to literally take 35 minutes to get across the room because the room was so packed with people that you had to carefully insert yourself and maybe sometimes almost accidentally knock someone over to get anywhere because it was simply packed with people and positive energy. And it felt so good because there's been so many times in Ravalli County where you see the most impoverished take another hit. You know, there's just not enough services. Some of the services that were available were not acceptable to the county commissioners. So, like with the Title X funding going away, it just seemed like one loss after another. And certainly the energy in the room made it feel like we've turned something around to be very positive for the people who live here. And that was exciting.
And if people want to find out more about the Sapphire Women's Wellness Clinic, what should they do?
They can send an email to ravallihealth@gmail.com or call 406-363-8637.
I've been speaking with Dixie Stark, who is today representing Sapphire Women's Wellness Clinic. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.